I'm Alicia Orsini with this Living Lab conversation. You may have heard of the maker movement. Often we hear about maker spaces where individuals can learn to use state-of-the-art technology, gain access to resources they wouldn't have otherwise, and exchange ideas with a community of creative-minded people who make all kinds of things. The movement is growing here on Cape Cod, and joining me today is Chris Connors, who teaches computer technology at Martha's Vineyard High School and is an engineering and creativity educator. He also sits on the board of directors for Cape Cod Makers. Hi, Chris.
Good morning.
And we also have Paula Hersey, who has many years of experience training non-technical people to use technology. She's the Director of Outreach and Special Projects at Cape Cod Community Media Center in Dennisport. Paula serves as president of the Cape Cod Technology Council, and she also is a member of the Cape Cod Makers Board. Good morning.
Good morning, Alicia.
Welcome to both of you. Tell me a little bit about the maker movement as a whole. What is the maker movement?
It's a community of people that sort of self-organize around projects and ideas and learning how to do things and teaching each other how to do things and using whatever tools are available, modern tools or traditional tools, and just making cool things and being creative and having a great time.
Why is maker culture so popular right now?
I think it's partly to do with the do-it-yourself movement. A lot of folks are really looking to take what they would normally think of as a project that they would have to give to somebody else to create and saying, geez, if I just had the tools, I could do this myself or a little bit of instruction. So the do-it-yourself movement really is I think, a driver of makerspaces because people want to come together and create something. I think also the startup movement. A lot of startups and innovation happens. Those entrepreneurs are looking for these makerspaces to collaborate with ideas.
So why is it so important then the maker movement be here on Cape Cod?
A lot of people come from all over the world to be here, and we can work together and do amazing things. There's a lot of amazingly creative people here on the Vineyard and the Cape and Nantucket. And we have access to creative people. And why shouldn't we work together?
I think there's a lot of folks on Cape Cod that actually move here for the maker movement. You think about Truro or Eastham, there's welders, there's potters, there's people who make robots right here on Cape Cod. That's what they do, is make robots. There's folks that make beer. Homebrewing is a makerspace type of application. People who sew, people who make jewelry. All of those folks live right here on Cape Cod and the islands.
So is this more of, it sounds like, I mean, we all know the Cape as being kind of a very creative place, a sanctuary for artists and people who want to work in creativity. So the movement is almost maybe bringing these people together, would you say?
I think so. The arts is a significant percentage of the Cape and Islands economy. And this is a way to connect people up that are already doing interesting and amazing things and help each other meet each other and be influenced by other people in the community.
And I think part of that, as well as the ongoing shift from STEM, which is science, technology, engineering, and math, to STEAM, which is science, technology, engineering, art, and math. The makers really do bring together technology as well as the arts.
I certainly know that we've heard a lot about STEAM recently, but you're giving an opportunity for everybody to kind of experience this with a maker fair. Now, you're calling this a mini maker fair. What is a maker fair in the big picture?
So the major maker fairs are in San Francisco and New York. There will be another one in London as well. And there's big maker fairs. Then the mini maker fair system allows organizations to kind of meet each other on a more community level. So if you can't make it to New York City or if you can't make it to San Francisco, you can still go, you know, a few dozen miles from home and meet up with your local community and show off your projects or meet other people who are doing other neat projects.
Well, that's kind of my next question is, what are we going to see? Is this a show and tell, or is there actual collaboration that's going to, what happens?
There's a combination. You could tell a little bit more of the list of what you...
Well, the list of things, it actually seems pretty endless. We have 3D printing. We have beaded jewelry and precious metal clay. We have card cubes. We have coffee pod recycling. That's kind of cool. Duct tape kayak project. There's an actual kayak that floats in the water made out of duct tape.
Wow.
Made by a high school student, I believe.
Yep. Actually, I think Four Seas College student, and learned to solder. So there's going to be a lot of hands-on activities. That's one of the criteria that we had for the Mini Maker Fair, is that anybody who got a booth, which was free, was that they have some type of hands-on activity that people could participate in. Power wheels racing, robots, South Coast Innovator Lab. So we have other maker spaces actually coming to this event as well to kind of spread the word and, again, let people get their hands dirty.
I like that. So you can do beading and soldering all in the same afternoon.
You can also combine them with computer programming and have interactive clothing. And there's a lot of amazing things you can do with this.
What kind of things are you expecting, hopefully, to see at this Maker Faire that you might not see at another Maker Faire?
Well, I think part of it might be the real artist piece of this. There are lots of artists here, jewelry making. We have some folks for video production. So there's, I think the arts piece of it is probably a little bit different in this Maker Faire than some others that might be in other communities. And of course, beer making.
is it that really big a thing?
Homebrewing is huge.
It's a big thing.
Yeah. And again, if you think about makerspaces and being able to share equipment, it's hard to get started with homebrew because there's so much equipment involved. So, you know, learning what you need to do and some of those tips and tricks, the brewery here on Cape Cod will actually man a booth all day, teach you how to homebrew.
Well, all right.
I think one of the things that you'll see here at this Cape Cod Mini Maker Faire is you'll see the beginning of this movement in a real tangible way. You'll be able to see what people are doing here on the Cape, which is different than what you'll see in Cambridge or other cities, other communities. Westport, Connecticut has a great Mini Maker Faire, but they won't have everything that we have. So you'll see the start of something really fascinating.
Well, the Cape does kind of bring together not only the traditional artists, but also those, like you talked about, the scientists. There's a major, especially here in Woods Hole, a major science community. Are you expecting to see some of those more science-based makers come out?
We actually saw that in some of our first meetups, as we saw folks that normally traditionally stay in Woods Hole actually venture to Hyannis, which was amazing.
It's a long commute.
It's a long commute.
And I also think that this sort of creates some of the things that you can do after work and connecting people who are like-minded and giving them something to do that is in between home and work.
Do you see some of the makers trying to maybe, you know, strike it on their own and use this maker space to give themselves freedom in business?
Sure. Maker spaces actually traditionally are a breeding ground for entrepreneurs and startups. As you look at maker spaces across the country, that's what you're going to see, is you're going to see some of the folks. For example, have you ever heard of the Square, Square card reader? I believe that came out of...
That came out of Tech Shop. Which is a commercial makerspace in that case in California.
Wow. So you would gain the skills and technology to maybe have a little more independent freedom. And of course, then, you know, the job market, especially here on the Cape, you've got to get creative. So this may be an opportunity for a lot of...
I think it's also an opportunity for economic development. Mm. I really believe that innovation centers need and have a place here on Cape Cod. Regardless of geography, we're all connected by the bridges. So having a couple of innovation centers or maker spaces where people can come together with shared tools and shared ideas really could boost our economy in many different ways besides just tourism.
So with that, is there a place for maker spaces within the schools, as we're talking about STEAM and STEM? So what is the space in maker space look like for youth?
In some schools, it's sort of a growing movement. The libraries are definitely doing interesting things in the public community and also in the high schools. In our high school, there's definitely a movement within the library to create a space where students can work on computers and do interesting projects. Then there's also vocational school in Harwich that is creating an engineering program. So they'll be doing more with making I don't know that they have a maker space specifically, but they're definitely moving towards engineering. And there's just great things going on in the schools.
3D printing with Mashpee High School. They're actually going to have a booth. And Mashpee, I think, is probably one of the more innovative maker spaces to begin in the high school level, where they've got quite a few of the newer tools, like a 3D printer. I do believe they have some laser cutters and things like that. So they're producing some really cool stuff. They're producing signs for our show.
Oh, really?
So if you go to capecodmakers.org, you can see a post on a sign, a very beautiful sign that they made with a shop bot to custom design a sign for this event, which is really exciting.
It's maybe updating shop class a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Quite a bit. Because basically what some of these advances in technology are allowing us to do is to be able to have people design things on the computer where more people are very comfortable and use computer-based tools to manufacture the thing that they want. So with a project that we're working on to make a little electric car in my classroom, we needed to create a steering piece that would hold the steering together. And so with the students, it was actually the students who designed it. They went into a website and used some software on the website to make the parts, and then we 3D printed them and put them together and said, yeah, that's about right. And that was pretty neat. And then also you can do things like draw on eggs,
which
for the egg bot.
We'll have pictures of this, but Chris came in with this little machine.
It's called an egg bot.
An egg bot. It is, and its specific purpose is?
To draw on eggs.
To draw on eggs. So you've got this hooked up to, you know, it's maybe the size of a loaf of bread, maybe a little bigger.
It fits in my backpack with a dozen eggs.
Backpack, dozen eggs, a laptop, and some Sharpies. And you have eggs over there that will have our WCAI logo on them, a map of Martha's Vineyard and the Cape and Islands. And then you have an egg that encapsulates the world. Right? You have a world.
And they are hard-boiled. So sometimes when I work on eggs, I have a lot of omelets, but in this case, we'll get some pictures and then eat them.
That's right. Food coloring dye has nothing on Chris. Yeah.
So, you know, where does the idea for an egg bot come from?
In this case, this was a product created by Evil Mad Scientist Laboratories, and they cooked up an idea for an egg bot, and they created it as a kit, which I have wanted for a long time. So I managed to get my school to buy an egg bot because, you know, we needed an egg bot. And then a student put the kit together, and then he did some work to test it out, make sure it was working. And then I've done a couple of projects on it, and students have done a couple projects on it. And it just seems like a good thing.
So there's not only coming up with the design, but they have to then do the programming to tell the robot what to do.
Well, in this case, all you really need is a black and white high contrast image. Mm-hmm. So if I wanted to, for instance, put the WCAI logo on a website on an egg, I went to your website and I copied the logo and put it into a piece of software called Inkscape and extracted the lines and then sent it to the egg bot, and then it made it. And that's pretty much the same way that I put the Cape Cod Makers logo on an egg and Martha's Vineyard on an egg. And there are other things that you can put on eggs too.
Perfect for Easter.
Christmas ornaments too.
Oh, Christmas
or anything round. Oranges.
So it's not just eggs. It's printing on round surfaces. But the egg bot, the name is catchy. Yeah. So with the larger scope for the Cape Cod Makers Movement, this is still relatively new. How long have the makers been, as an organization, been around?
We formalized, I believe, the beginning of this year with a full board. We'd been going since the fall of last year, actually almost 2 years
I think
now.
It was about April or March a year ago.
A year ago, right.
First public information meeting, and that was in Hyannis. So that was the first meeting, and we weren't sure who was going to be there. And it turned out to be
we had 75 people.
75 people.
Oh my gosh!
With a lot of coverage in the press, so the movement had started. And then over this past summer, there were quite a few classes. The Cape Cod Technology Council actually is accelerating the Cape Cod makers by using them to do workshops and seminars. So this past summer, we had workshops in electricity. We had workshops in the Python programming language, which is what you would use for some of these bots.
Arduino.
Arduino. I did a class, actually. I attended a class to make my Halloween decorations blink and talk, which was really cool. The neighborhood kids actually got a great scare, I guess you could call it. I had a witch that came down from a tree, and it had, you know, scary sounds to it and things like that. So lots of classes being planned for after the Mini Maker Fair. So, you know, stay tuned to our website. We'll have lots of things going on as we move forward.
So who teaches these? You're not paying people to come out. Are you getting volunteers? Or who does that?
It's volunteers so far. We've got a lot of folks that really want to share knowledge, which, again, I think is unique to the Cape sometimes, is that we don't keep everything to ourselves. We kind of want to share this and have other people. So we've had engineers from Savant Systems come in and teach us some stuff. Chris has done some. I'll probably do some HTML and some web stuff. The Cape Media Center is going to do some videography and photography kind of classes. So again, as we start to get, we want your ideas.
So where does it go from here? You have a maker fair, and then the next step is hopefully a maker space?
Correct.
We'd like to see that happen. And it seems like there are some movements towards people being receptive to that and helping that happen. We're looking for the right arrangement of community and funding and physical space.
And where geographically, you know, we want to make sure that digital inclusion for some of the areas on Cape that don't have access to resources, that we place the center somewhere where everyone can access it. Additionally, I think as we move forward, we'll see more funding in the terms of grants to actually fund the makerspace. It takes money to get those equipment in there.
And I think also we've been pretty geographically flexible. We've done workshops in Hyannis and in Truro, Sandwich, I believe. Mm-hmm. And particularly in the summer, the Cape can be pretty difficult to get around in. So having the ability to set up shop in a library or in a school, you know, classroom after hours is a handy thing. And it could be that the Cape needs several maker spaces, not just one.
Well, we've been talking about the Cape Cod Makers and the Cape Cod Mini Maker Fair with Chris Connors and Paula Hersey. The Mini Maker Fair will be Saturday the 26th from 10 a.m. to 4 at the Cape Cod Community College Gymnasium. If you want to learn more about the Cape Cod Maker Fair or the makers in general or volunteer, you can visit their website at capecodmakerfair.org. Thanks so much for joining us. Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Paula.
Thank you, Alicia.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to this Living Lab Conversation. I'm Alicia Orsini.